Hey, my name is Vanessa, and you're listening to A No Alto, a series where myself and five other guests discuss diversity, representation, and culture. These interviews are recorded at different times at different places, and I asked all of them the same questions. In this second episode, we talk about movies that have impacted them and which movies they felt best represented them.
My name is Hannah Kerger. I'm a junior studying medical molecular biology in Roger State.
Hi, my name is Shama Burchett, and I'm a medical molecular biology major.
My name is Julia Debusa, and I'm a professor here at Roger State University. I teach research method, and I also teach global communication. And obviously, because I'm part of the communication department, we're required to teach a general education course, and that's speech communication. And I've taught other fun classes, like look at how the media represents minorities.
My name is Pamco Arrubias. I am a liberated business coach, and I'm also the host of the Pagumpam podcast.
Hi, my name is Caden Coleman. I'm currently CreditWise, a senior at RSU with a degree in strategic communications with a minor in graphic design. I like a lot of coming of age movies, a lot. And a very good movie that I like is Lady Bird. It's a great movie starring Saoirse Ronan. It's a hard name to say. Timothée Chalamet is also in it. But basically, this movie comes from a point of diversity from a background standpoint. Because Lady Bird, the main character, is a rebel and maybe not be the best person ever. You know, maybe treats her family bad. It's based in reality, you know? All the characters feel so real. And I feel like in movies, they got to sometimes make everyone the good guy or you're really, really bad. There's no middle ground. Whenever I feel like in life, we're all somewhat bad people. And also in this movie called Marriage Story, a real fight for divorce and everything. It's a huge deal. I mean, there's tons of movies.
I haven't seen it, the Shang-Chi one. So, like, it's kind of weird. Like, some movies were like that. I almost a little hesitant to watch it just because a lot of times, like, they are misrepresented, like, in the culture. So I'm always, like, should I watch it and be a little bit disappointed and I, like, represented this? Or should I just, like, not watch it? And so, like, a lot of times it's like that, unfortunately.
There was a lot of controversy about it. And to me, anything that's not your stereotypical white man movie, I'll watch it. Because to me, I'm supporting one step. There's going to be controversy all the time. And if putting some coins into BIPOC movies will make the world move forward, then the next movie will be better. And the next movie will be better. But if I don't support a movie that has people of color in it, then that's going to show that people of color don't support people of color. Therefore, the dollars, the marketing, the ad money is going to go towards what's been done over and over because that's what works. And so the only way to disrupt is to disrupt, which they are, and they're creating controversy. And hey, my grandma used to say, if nobody's talking about you, then you're not doing anything right.
When I have to watch a movie, if I can use it in class. Today, I was sharing with my students, I was teaching global communication. We're looking at how the fact that the world has become globalized, the fact that that can bring about what we call a clash in civilization. So then I actually showed these clips of the controversy when this movie, The Interviewer, was actually just being debuted. And Kim Jong-un of North Korea was mad, and they had actually threatened to attack by cyber attack, some form of cyber attack. And then Sony pulled away. So that made me want to watch that movie. So just to understand, how was this leader depicted? I watched it because I wanted to use it. I wanted to show my students. So he's an example of the clash of civilization due to globalization.
Korean media has only taken off with Parasite. Parasite is a great movie. Korean storytellers really, there's a big theme of wealth disparities. And it's a great subject that has not been highlighted. And I want to thank the Korean storytellers that truly tap into that lesson and story, because you learn a lot from it and you get to see just how willing a low-income person is to get money and how the wealthy individuals don't take notice or they are selfish. And Parasite, they pretend to be caretakers and they eventually all become caretakers for this family. And the family doesn't know they're all related and they're all not actual certified
caretakers.
Yeah, but then it goes off from there. I can't tell you what happens next.
Let me think of a movie that's heavily, or that I relate to. Oh, it's hard. It's hard to relate to movies. My story, it's very different from stories that have been told in movies. So I don't have a movie that I will say, this is me. Not at all. Okay. There are pieces of characters that I'm like, oh, I resonate with that. But there's not one story that I'm like, not that I want that, or not that I'm centering my story, but you know, there's so many stories that have been told in the world. I don't resonate with, not that anything comes up.
This is called The Farewell. Honestly, that one was the most relatable movie I have like ever seen. And then after I saw it, I was like telling everyone, I was like, if you're like interested in knowing literally how the Chinese culture is and everything, you will want to see that movie. Like, absolutely, like just dead on. Like, I could not believe how accurate it was. Because, you know, as someone that is, you know, like, even the fact that I immigrated here when I was in, it was in 2010, so I was almost 9. Still, like, when I went back to China and everything, they literally treated me like how they treated, like, the main girl in this movie. You know, they're like, oh, like, how do you like China more? Do you like America more? Like, they'll ask those questions and stuff. The culture is like dead on. Like, I even, like, in this movie, the grandma has, I think, cancer, and the doctor didn't tell the grandma and told the family. The family wouldn't tell the grandma even till she died, like, because it just spread all over her. But like, nobody even told her like what she had was cancer. It's crazy, but it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's literally the reality of how it is. So. And this movie was definitely like spot on. Like a lot of like movies, like if you see like Mulan or stuff, they're not like 100% dead on, because like, I guess it's like some part of it, I'm like, that you don't really see that, you know? And so I'm like, so it's kind of frustrating. But then when I saw this movie, it was literally just dead on.
Yeah, movies, for instance, just a cartoon movie, like, is it an animation movie like The Lion King? I think that's an example whereby they were speaking Swahili. I wanted to see. No, one of the reasons would be I want to see whether this representation of culture is accurate. So that's the other reason why. If I want to gain an understanding of a certain culture, say for instance, there's a movie that I watched a long time ago. I think it's the 80s, 90s. It's titled Not Without My Daughter by Sally. I think Sally Fields was the main star. So I wanted to get an understanding of what it is to live in Iran as a woman, where you had to veil. So it's a story about this woman who met his lover here in the United States. He was a student from Iran. They got married and he decided, hey, let's go visit home. We'll come back. But they ended up not leaving. And she didn't know that his plans were to stay. And he was a doctor. So it kind of gave you that idea of what it is to live in a regime where women don't have freedom.
A movie or character. I feel like my life, I'm made up of multiple movie characters. I walk out of a movie theater and I have like main character syndrome a little bit. I start talking like them, acting like them, and I always have to pull a lesson from them. Like, even recently I watched Cruella in the movie theater. Obviously, if you see what I look like, I don't look like Cruella whatsoever. I walk out of the movie theater walking like her, talking like her, and I learned a lesson from her character. You know what I mean? But directly, people that have influenced me, almost every single sidekick in the movie, you know, the side character that steals the show, I would like to think that that's me, but who knows? I always look at the side characters that really make a, you know, appeal to me, but I feel like I'm just like a pizza of tons of different movie slices of characters.
I love Inside Out by Disney. I think it was the first movie that I saw that talked about mental health. I've been talking about mental health since 2015, and people laughed at me, especially brown people, because they were like, what are you talking about? We get over it. And so Inside Out came out, but it really touched on honoring all of our emotions and really I mean, the core of the movie is to show that we feel, you know? And so that influenced me and in the sense to, it almost validated that I wasn't like talking to no one that this talking about mental health actually, it does matter. And now the conversation, fast forward 7 years or whatever, the conversation, it's louder, which is great. Makes me so happy. But what this movie did to me is it validated what I was believing. It really created more awareness.
But what's really nice about like Netflix and those like bigger platforms, they've actually got more like Asian movies and TV shows now. And so I like really love that part of it. So I don't have to pay for like a separate platform.
I do think that recently they've tried to come up with like interesting movies to air on their subscription platform.
A24, for example, tells these absurd stories, these crazy stories. They get some good actors on their team to portray the characters in their movies. And they're like indie. But any movie that has good actors and a good script for them, whew, that's why I love Marriage Story. It's based on reality. And it's original. And it's just, if I want to forget I'm watching a movie when I'm watching a movie. I want to feel like a fly on the wall. And I'm watching someone's real life happen in front of them. And with a lot of movies, I feel like especially with a lot of action movies, you get that taken away from you because you're like, oh, that's so ridiculous. People enjoy that, though, and I do enjoy that. I love the Marvel movies as much as the next guy. But I think there's good actor performances in those, too. But that's a whole different story. I don't care what budget you have, but as long as you have good actors, that's all I care about.
Most time I just see like what the plot is about and stuff. And even though if it has a lot of negative reviews, I would go ahead and still watch it just so I can formulate my own like opinion. Like, oh yeah, that was bad. Or, oh, that was actually not bad. Like what people said. So I don't really look at like how many stars it got or how many reviews it got. I really look at more of like the plot of things and make my own decision whether to watch it or not.
Shang-Chi, for example, had all of this controversy about Awkwafina, and I just know there was things going on. And before I step into hearing what people have to say, I want to build my own opinion about it so I can speak on it. And then also hear out. So for example, for Shang-Chi, this is very specific about Asian community. I'm not Asian. And so I cannot speak for that. And I have zero business actually building an opinion around it other than what I believe for myself. I want to watch the movie because it has a lot of people of color in it. I want to watch it because it's also about superheroes. I'm about that life, the storyline of superheroes. And when it comes to the discussion about the controversy, sometimes I step away from it because that's not my role. I have zero business talking about Asian representation because who am I to talk about it? Just in the same sentiment, when people talk about Latino representation, then I'm like, okay, what's your role around it? And then hear everyone out because I think every opinion is valid and conversations happen when people listen. And we don't always listen. That's very tricky. Listening is not something that we step into often.
And this movie called Onward by Pixar, it was a gay police officer, but it's like hidden in the background. She's like hardly in it. She's a Cyclops. And that's not a human, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. As well as, I mean, a transgender character.
Has there been any?
I haven't seen a single soul. Being a non-straight male, being bisexual, I feel like that's kind of a new thing. So I haven't found that character that represents that for me. Sometimes there is characters that they just put in the movies or TV shows that are just like stereotypically gay. That's their only trait. And that's not good for the TV show or the gay population out there.
Did you see when they did the red carpet for that, for the Eternals? And I forget her name, the Latina director, she spoke Spanish on camera. It was Salma and somebody else that were talking to the people covering the red carpet. And then she came over and I guess there was a family of Latinas, or like there was a family. I think it was two little girls that were dressed as Salma's character. And so then she was like, ¿Viste la señora? Blah, blah, blah. And Salma's like, they don't speak Spanish. Y la otra le dijo, no importa que lo aprendan, or something like that. I loved it.
I saw so many where like Salma Hayek will just start crying because she knew how important this was. And that's when it shows how
much. The importance of this.
It makes you cry. Like I think with Univision, And she said that she put on the outfit, and because she was scared that she was going to be claustrophobic, she put the outfit on. She saw herself in the mirror and she started crying because she didn't see herself. She saw all of the Latino community, herself as a little girl. She was just like, there's this weight that's been put on her shoulders, and she recognizes that weight and she's taking it seriously.
I totally also like understand why, like, America is, a lot of the movies are like white characters, because, like, you know, it is America, you know, but, like, you know, if you think of China, like, most of the movies are like Chinese people. Like, there's not like a lot of white people or Hispanic people in those movies, because, you know, like, different countries are set like that. Like, in our country in general, it's like pretty diverse. When you put a whole bunch of diversity in, I feel like it's kind of like a little bit chaotic. Like, for example, Crazy Rich Asians, or like Shang-Chi or something like that, like where they're kind of trying to broaden up perspective and like doing like movies based on cultures. And like even The Farewell, like that was a great like way for someone that isn't familiar with that culture to be able to like see that and like broaden their perspective and other cultures. So I like appreciate that. But, you know, at the same time, I totally understand like why it's the film industry is like how it is. But I do appreciate their efforts of like broadening up their diversity.
But you know, the best part about this, you relate to something or a demographic that you wouldn't normally relate to according to media. It unifies people. It's not just a show. It's not just a movie to talk about a certain type of people. It's a way for people to understand other people's perspectives in a non-judgmental way.
Thank you for listening to this second episode. In our next episode, we talk about the rise and fall of cable TV and the influence it has had on streaming services and how they have changed the way we watch media.